is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 31st of August 2009 and the time is 12:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Graham Shaw. I'm 47 and I'm from Nottingham.
And have you travelled to the plinth today especially for your hour?
I have, yes. Came all the way down from Nottingham. It's sort of parked, managed to find a parking space at an exorbitant price at Trafalgar Square, which was a lot easier than carrying all the IKEA things that I've got on the tube.
And has coming to the square and seeing the plinth in action met your expectations?
It has, yes. It's as much a spectacle as I thought it was going to be. It's a little bit calmer than I thought. For some reason, I thought it was going to be very crowded. And fortunately it isn't, because I don't particularly like showing off. So I don't know why I'm doing it if I don't like showing off, but never mind.
What is it that you liked about the project and that made you actually apply for it?
Lots of reasons, really. First of all, I thought I'd never ever be chosen, I thought I was safe to apply for it. It seems such a long time ago. It's back in February, I think, when I actually first applied. So I can't actually remember exactly why. I think it was just it seemed like a good idea at the time. I suppose it still does seem like quite a good idea. There's no particular reason. I don't particularly want to be a work of art. I don't particularly want to be remembered for the rest of eternity. It just seemed like a good idea at the time.
And what was your reaction when you heard that you had a place?
I nearly fell off my chair. I thought it was spam. I was on the email and I thought, there's no way. And I had to read it about 3 or 4 times. And then I suddenly realised what the date was. And it was a bank holiday and the time, lunchtime. Because I thought, in the off chance that I would have been chosen, I thought perhaps at least it'll be like on a Wednesday, wet Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's like just me and 3 pigeons in the square. But unfortunately, or fortunately, it wasn't. There's quite a few other people that I think looking out the window now, I think I can see there's quite a few people knocking about.
How are you feeling at this moment in time about going up?
Well, I was okay until I started doing this interview, I'm fine. So I'm a lot less nervous than I thought I'd be. I think the nerves hit in about 2 months ago when I was first chosen, and then I decided to do what I'm going to do. Quite early on, so it wasn't as if I had a problem with trying to think of things. I wasn't nervous about sort of trying to prove that or trying to find something to do. I'd got a couple of backup ideas, but then as I've been watching it on the website, people seem to sort of, it seemed to be quite a common thing. I was going to sort of do some drawing or some painting, and that seems quite, every other person seems to be doing that. I was a bit disappointed when I saw some guy at about midnight or something doing an IKEA set of drawers, but unfortunately, he didn't manage to finish it. So my target is to actually finish it and put it back down again within the hour.
I was just about to ask. You've mentioned IKEA and set of drawers. So are you building something for the hour?
Yes. Being a structural engineer, sort of, I felt as if I had to do something. I had to build something creative. It seems to work on several levels. First of all, is it art? You know, being a 47-year-old unknown bloke from Nottingham and is standing on top of a plinth putting IKEA furniture together, is that art? So there's always that question. So I suppose if you agree that it is art, then it sort of moves on to other sort of levels. There's the questions about the reasons. It could be that I'm actually sort of doing what most people would be doing on a bank holiday, which is building IKEA furniture. They'd be popping along to the IKEA showroom, picking up some stuff, and then frustratingly trying to put it all together in the right order. So hopefully I'll be representing other people. And it's also an opportunity to put together some furniture in a space without any obstructions, because normally I sort of poke something through the window or sort of get the cat trapped in the drawer or something like that when I'm building it, or constantly moving things around. So at least a 4.2 meters by 1.5 meter space without any obstructions is fantastic to be able to sort of build some IKEA furniture.
So would you describe it as art?
Yes, I think it is, actually. I think it's art is basically whatever you think it is. And if I think it's art, then it must be art. I hope everybody else thinks it as well.
And what is the impact that you'd like to have by going up and doing this today?
It's more of a personal impact. I'm not looking to impact upon society. I'm not looking to change the world's vision of how they see art. I suppose what I'm looking at is sort of, it's something that I can remember, and perhaps some sort of family can remember, and perhaps we talk about it over sort of dinner parties and sort of in the future, and sort of people can say, "Oh, do you remember when you did that thing on the Trafalgar Square?" So it's more of a sort of a personal impact, and perhaps a family impact. It's just a bit of fun as well. So it seems like a good idea at the time.
And what would you like to take away from the experience when you're coming down from the plinth? What do you hope to gain?
Apart from the T-shirt, a sense of achievement. The fact that I managed to sort of do it, not the building thing, but managed to actually get onto the plinth, do what I wanted to do, and then come off without sort of panicking too much. So I suppose it's an overcoming a sort of a bit of a sort of fear of sort of performing in public. So coming off it, I suppose what I've achieved will be something I can remember for a long time. Something what I'm not sort of a performance person. I'm not sort of a public outgoing person really. So hopefully this is something that I can remember as a complete change to what I'd normally do in life.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
My family, I think. So that, as I said before, so that everybody can sort of buy into it. It can be something that we can talk about and joke about, and sort of I can be ridiculed in the future. And I can also sort of, if I fancied, sort of could always sort of bring out the, is it art? Sort of conversation, and also I can class myself as a performer as well. So it's a sort of a life change, perhaps.
Do you see the hour as a performance? Is that how you've interpreted the project?
I've tried not to think of it as a performance because I think that would worry me. The fact that people come to that they're expecting something of you, that's what would make me nervous. So I see it as something that it's just me, just my own sort of hour, my own space, and it gives me an opportunity to do what I want to do. And if I don't do it, there's no expectation. I could sit there or lie there or do nothing, and nobody's going to, well, apart from perhaps a few people might sort of comment or throw a few things at me, but hopefully nobody will be commenting and say, you know, I mean, what a waste of time or what a waste of money or, you know, sort of need to entertain me sort of thing. There's no expectation of entertainment from the people around. So I don't feel, I suppose that's probably one of the reasons why I don't feel that nervous, because I haven't rehearsed, I'm not performing, and there's no sort of benchmark which I've got to achieve.
Would you like people in the square to interact with you?
Probably not. I think the reason why I'm doing something is so that they don't interact, because I don't want people to sort of shout at me or throw things, especially hard things. And I suppose it gives me something to think about. So to actually do something, the hour will pass quite quickly by putting something up and taking something down. I'm not bothered whether they do or not. I'd be worried if it was something offensive that shouted up, and that's probably. But it's passed in a few minutes, and I'd probably never recognise them, never see them again in life, so it doesn't really bother me.
And are your family here with you?
They are, yes. My wife Lynn's here, and a son Greg, and a sister-in-law, and a husband, and I think some of their family there as well. Unfortunately, my daughter's working at the moment, so she couldn't. But I said I would give her a ring when I'm up there, for sort of halfway through. She'll be on a lunch break between sort of 1 and 2 o'clock, so she's going to try and stream it online on the computer in the shop. And I said I'll sort of give her a ring to let her know. I've also got a camera, which she's asked me to take a few photographs while I'm up there.
And what did your family say when you told them that you were going up on the plane?
Disbelief. I think they thought I was joking first, and until. because it happened, I got the email just a couple of days before it became big news on the television at sort of beginning of July. So I think if I'd have found out earlier, nobody would have believed me, because nobody would have known what's happening. And so it was just at the right time. The family sort of, people at work and things, just I don't think they know how to react really. I don't know whether it's sort of funny or strange or weird or and some people are just sort of curious as to what I'm doing and sort of, I just think it's a bit of a laugh and sort of that's so yeah. So there's some strange reactions really. So I think mainly sort of people just don't know what to think.
Have you got any expectations about what the hour will be like on the
plane? Well, as the weather as it is today, it's going to be very, very sunny. Hopefully, sort of not too bright, and so I can't be able to see what I'm doing. Not really. I'm just going to take it as it comes. I've got no. I suppose my expectation is that it's not going to be. People aren't going to be expecting things of me.
Do you have any hopes or fears about the hour?
Hope I can put all the things together in time and take them apart, and I don't drop all the screws over the side, and that's also a fear as well as a hope. It's more practical, I suppose, than my hopes and fears. Like I said before, I sort of hope that it's something I can remember in the future, sort of it's something strange to sort of talk about, and hopefully this also perhaps it might go down in the Shaw family history. Yes, I'm a chartered structural engineer, which is basically somebody who designs buildings. An architect makes it look nice, and a sort of structural engineer sort of provides the bones and the structure of things. I design things like bridges, office blocks, a lot of the mundane things that sort of people take for granted, from houses right through to station platforms. I'm not sort of a famous structural engineer. I'm sort of a workaday structural engineer. So I've been self-employed, and I do a lot of sort of stuff for small parts of large buildings. So there's nothing really that sort of, I can't really say that's my building. Although I do go past a few of them. So I think, oh, I've done that little bit, or sort of, if it wasn't for me, that wouldn't be standing there. So that's what I do. It's fairly practical. I do a fair amount of office work, and I also do sort of practical examinations of structures and things at great height as well. So I'm sort of, it's not one of the things that doesn't, I'm not concerned about is the height today, because I'm sort of just used to that. I do usually have hard hat and boots and harnesses and things on, so that might be a bit scary actually, not having all my normal accoutrements and things sort of hold me onto the platform. I suppose I've not done anything else really. I left school with sort of not brilliant qualifications. I became a draftsman and found that sort of it was just a little bit too limiting. So I thought I'd sort of branch out a little bit to do a bit of design. So it's sort of I've not done anything else really, sort of other than structural engineering or sort of design. So it's none of my family is sort of in that type of business. The name of the first company I worked for sounded quite attractive, which is a foreign name, and I think I just chose that because it was such a sort of exotic sounding name. I mean, all my contemporary, all the people that I've worked or all the people I was at school with left when we were 16. With various levels of qualification, and everybody seemed to, because I used to live in Birmingham, Castle Bromwich, and people mainly went to work for British Leyland or sort of the as tool setters or car manufacturers or people that sort of shop workers and things like that. So I suppose it was just perhaps that's why I'm doing this, because it's something slightly different. I chose to do something slightly different then, and perhaps I've sort of done little, not major different big things, or sort of tiny little things through my life, and perhaps this is just one of them. Thinking about, I hadn't really thought about that before. Perhaps it's just symptomatic of how I am. I sort of do quirky little things, but nothing too dangerous or too weird.
And what is it that you enjoy about your work?
I suppose a sense of achievement, sort of when something has been finished, I can actually start, it's a permanent building, and I can say, well, I did that. It's practical as well. There's a lot of sort of academic sort of mathematics, and sort of there's a lot of sort of solutions required. You need to be able to be a very practical person to be able to get a practical solution from a theoretical sort of a drawing of some sort. So I quite enjoy the sort of turning ideas into actual items, sort of buildings, structures and things like that. So I suppose that's probably what I get the most out of. Seeing the finished work and knowing that sort of, you know, if it wasn't for me, that wouldn't be standing there.
Would you say that there's a creative side to it, or is it very practical?
Definitely there is a creative side. I mean, the architect, in a traditional building construction, the architect takes the lead, but only to a point. That there's a definite sort of an art to engineering. It's not just a, I think that's probably where people go wrong sometimes, a sort of a graduate engineer or somebody comes in to the industry at the beginning, and they see our engineering as black and white, sums, hard sums, numbers and things like that. Whereas in fact what it is turning the complicated, complex sort of structure into an art form. It's using your own experience, your own sort of ingenuity, and actually creating sort of a real life thing from two-dimensional paper. So it is, to do it properly, it is an art form, as it is engineering, definitely.
What are your interests outside of work?
Family, at the moment. It used to be fishing, but sadly I don't have time to do that anymore. It's mainly sort of work. So being self-employed sort of takes up a lot of time. Diving, I used to do diving, again, sort of, I haven't done that for a couple of years, but it's a family sort of getting to, my daughter's 18, she's off to university, my son's 14, and they're getting, it's getting to, they've gone past the sort of full maintenance period now, so hopefully myself and my wife will be able to get sort of some of our life together, back together, and be able to do some of the things that we enjoy doing. So I don't know, sort of looking forward to discovering new things really. I can't see my wife as a diver really, or fishing. So I'll probably have to do something new.
Have you got anything in mind?
Well, as a little, I'm not as young as I was when I used to do the sort of sporty activities. It probably is something a little bit more sedate. Perhaps, I don't know. I'd like to travel. I'd love to travel, which I haven't had the opportunity to do yet. Not very far. I'd love to be able to sort of go and see magnificent things, magnificent buildings, I suppose, big structures and sort of things that are sort of death-defying sort of creations. So I suppose if anything, the first thing would be to travel, and I'd also like, I suppose, like to sort of I'd like to sort of, as an engineer, I've got a practical skill. I'd like to be able to use that for to put something back in society later on, after I've sort of, after the family's out of the way, then perhaps, I don't know, work in Africa or something for that I can get something, some other buzz out of, rather than just building something for some sort of a bank or something in this country, or some housing or something. Actually build something that changes people's lives, perhaps sort of a water project in Africa, or sort of something in India. So I haven't really thought about it much yet, but it's just a fragment of an idea, perhaps later on, sort of when I get time, perhaps a little bit of money, sort of a bit more freedom to actually do something like that. So fingers crossed.
Are there some buildings in the world that are top of your wish list?
I like the strange ones. I think my favourite one has been Guggenheim in Bilbao. That's an extraordinary sort of structural engineering feat. Things like the sort of Swiss Ray building in London as well, mainly because it's so big and unusual shaped. Something that's complicated. I like complicated buildings like that. They don't have to be very large, but ones where the architect has set the engineer a challenge. Perhaps some of the other Guggenheim museums, the ones, there's one that's an unfolding box, where that it isn't just a straightforward wall, ceiling, and that sort of thing. I quite like those sort of buildings. I haven't got a particular sort of favourite. I suppose it's like, I just like sort of styles of buildings.
What are some of the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
Oh, crikey. I keep mentioning it, but it's family, I think. I get my daughter off to university. I get my son through his GCSEs. Those are the two important things at the moment. The daughter to university is easier, because she's got her A-levels, she's off. We've got the accommodation and everything. She knows where she's going. She's off to York. I think she's doing history of art, so... She said that she might use this project as part of a. She'd begin with, before she gets there. She has to start doing some sort of coursework, and she got to the questions the other day, and one of them was to sort of analyse a current work of art. So she's thought about sort of doing one another as the work of art, and so to be able to study me at university. what else is important? Oh, crikey. I think it's just sort of surviving at the moment. As I say, being self-employed is a very sort of difficult in this current day and age. At this moment, I can see there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's been a very difficult 2-3 years. Especially this last year has been extremely sort of difficult financially and sort of and from a work point of view. And hopefully, sort of, you know. Sort of we're coming out of that now, and it's going to be a little bit more freedom, and I'll be able to sort of live again and eat properly.
Have you taken part in arts projects before?
When I was about 5, I did some finger painting that was photographed for the local newspaper. But I think between then and now, no.
And how would you summarise or describe your experience of this project since hearing that you had a place to this moment now?
Surreal, really. It's always been there since I found out that I've got a place. It's always been there, but I suppose the fact that I've known what I was going to do has been made it a little easier. I've not been worried about it. And as I say, sort of because it's something that I'm doing something while I'm there, I'm not necessarily looking at the crowds worrying about what they're going to be doing. I'm not sort of performing per se. I'm just sort of doing what I want to do for now. So I've not really been as nervous as I thought I would be, to be honest. As I say, I'm a quite private sort of quiet person usually. I thought I would be nervous. I think my wife's more nervous than I am, or has been. I know she's very nervous now.
And can you think back to the profile that you put online? Do you remember what the 3 words you used to describe
yourself? I know, something like quiet, nervous, and good with Lego. That was one word. I sort of cheated a little bit, sorry.
And would you be able to tell us how you're feeling at this moment, 20 minutes before going up on the plane?
Is it only 20 minutes? Well, that's fine until then. I thought we got hours. Nervous, I suppose. I suppose I'm more nervous now, I suppose. I can see through the window there's crowds of people, and they seem to be sort of pointing at somebody up on the plinth. So hopefully somebody's doing something entertaining. Or perhaps they're not doing something entertaining, so then I won't have to follow it. I suppose I'm a little bit nervous. Just a little bit nervous, I think.
And finally, what does the opportunity mean to you to be one of the 2,400 plinthers going up?
It feels quite an honour, really. I've seen Anthony Gorman's other works. The the statues on the beachfront up near Liverpool, at Crosby, and the Angel of the North. I suppose it hasn't sunk in yet. Really, I'm actually part of that. I mean, it just seems so strange. I suppose. What is it? I don't know. Perhaps it will develop. Perhaps I'll feel differently in years to come, and I can look back at it, and family can look back at it and laugh.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.